Rosie Caballero.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much. First of all, y'all are really far away from me. And so would you mind, anybody mind, just kind of coming up just a little bit for me? At least those of you who are in the very, almost the back. It'll be easier. We'll feel, it'll make me feel better. Thank you. And just by a show of hands, how many of you are a court of record? So everyone here is a trial de novo court, no courts of record?
I will be in January 1st.
You will be in January 1st, okay. And where are you from?
Mesquite.
Oh, Mesquite. Mesquite is pretty large. Y'all are not a court of record. Oh, wow, okay. Wow, okay. All right. Just since we are a small group, if you don't mind, just so I can get an idea where everybody's from, just really quickly, where you're from, and you don't mind, the first name, just so I can have an idea. And how many appeals you're actually filing or have been, or have filed in this last year? Okay, okay. Okay, well, we'll start over here. Do you mind? Which? Patricia, from where? Oh, I love San Marcos. They got the best outlet mall there is in the state of Texas. In the state of Texas.
All three freezes of it.
All three. Okay, Patricia. About how many appeals are y'all handling out there?
I don't think we've had more than 2 a year.
2 a year? Okay. And you are trial de novo court. You're not a court of record. And are you truly from San Marcos or Martindale?
Martindale.
Okay. I know Martindale. I know where that's at, too. Yeah, I've got family actually out in Lockhart, so I'm familiar with that area. I went to the University of Texas out there.
3 miles long.
It's just big enough to get a ticket. Just big enough to get a ticket. Yes, ma'am.
I'm Robin, and I'm from Kilgore.
Robin from Kilgore. Okay, Kilgore's a pretty decent-sized city also.
We're about 11,000.
11,000, okay. And about how many appeals do y'all see a year?
Maybe one.
Maybe one appeal a year. Okay, that's pretty good, though. Mm-hmm. I know you just walked in, but if you could give me your first name and the city that you're from.
My name's Monica, and I'm from the city of Lorenzo.
Monica, the city of Lorenzo. Okay, that's my dad's name, Lorenzo. I love that name. Yeah. About how many appeals are you seeing a year?
It's funny you ask that because we've got a new judge. About a year and a half or so ago. Mm-hmm. Before him, we had a judge that he worked there about 20 a lot of years, mm-hmm. and he never did do.
No appeals ever went. So, but now? Y'all getting a lot of appeals?
I haven't done any yet.
Yet.
But I know that he's.
Probably things will start to happen. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right, ladies. Okay, Overton. It's just over that other way. Okay, Jennifer, about how many appeals do y'all see right now?
I used to get a lot of them, but now I don't get as many. I don't know.
So maybe in the last year?
Actually, it's because the judge that was there before I started, he passed away.
Mm-hmm.
And Judge Wolverton, now that new judge, so a lot of people don't even, he tells them. If they come before me, then I'm like, okay, if y'all want to appeal this, then, you know, you have it right. But if they just come to court, it is what it is.
It is what it is. Oh, okay. All right.
Sharon, Sensaba.
Sharon from Sensaba.
1 a year.
1 a year, okay.
I'm Melissa from Abilene, and we actually do about 150 appeals a year.
A year? 150 a year. Okay, from Abilene, Melissa. Okay.
Rebecca from Mesquite.
Wow, y'all really need to go to be court of record. You're right. You're really right. Okay, Melissa. Yes, ma'am.
I'm Kim. I'm from Ty, which is just right outside of Abilene.
Right outside. Oh, okay.
And we, little bitty though, not near the size of Abilene. Uh-huh. About 1,100 people is our population.
Okay.
But, probably maybe one a year.
Okay, about 1 year.
In a year? Oh, I know why. Because we had one guy that did six. We had one guy that
one
did
defendant.
Six.
Yeah. All right, all right.
Then we're all animal control.
Well, okay. This is going to be kind of an interesting class for y'all then, because for the most part, everybody's not a court of record. That's kind of the easier portion of the class. But the way I'm going to teach this class is to show both what happens in a court of record, what a court of record should do, and what you should do if you're a trial de novo court. Now, for those of you, or most of you, or all of you actually right now are all in a trial de novo court, the largest or the biggest difference for the court of record, Melissa, could you say what the biggest difference is for y'all, what you're anticipating because you go a court of record?
Once we go court, the appeal process can only, someone can only appeal with an error to a trial. They can no longer appeal just to get a new trial.
Okay. Awesome. That's right. So they actually, there has to be a problem or an error that actually occurred in the courtroom, just like Melissa says, in order for somebody to appeal the case. Okay. So myself, it was said, I'm from Coppell Municipal Court, and we used to be a trial de novo court. When I got there, we changed. We moved to court of record. So we are court of record and have been for probably about 14 years now. We used to get maybe 100, 150 appeals a month. And because we had a real need to grow in our city, as far as there was no recourse on the appeals. And for those of you who don't run a lot through, when I say there was no recourse, what I mean is we would have, let's say these little fruit stands on the side of the road, little places on the side of the road, they wouldn't get their permits to operate. But because they didn't have a permit, nobody would come inspect them. So they would get, you know, they might get a ticket, but nobody would come do anything about it, and they would still, they'd pay the attorney, I don't know what the going rate is right now, but they might pay attorney $40, and they would do this, what's called a leapfrog. They would just bypass us completely, and a lot of these, once the appeals went to the county, they disappeared. I mean, nothing ever came of it. They just disappeared. Once, especially since we're in the Metroplex, once people start realizing that they just kind of disappear into the county, and that's not to say the county's not doing what they're supposed to be doing, it's just we might not ever see them again. We get this reputation that, oh, you just pay the $40 and it goes away. And that's not the way it should work. But if you're not having lots and lots of appeals, then it may not be something that you're looking at moving forward to. But going court of record is one way to minimize those appeals, because it would have to be based on an error. Now I'm going to push this button and see if it works, okay? Okay, so it's not that button. It's not that one. Maybe it's this one. Oh, woo! Okay, all defendants have a right to appeal their convictions. Everybody. Even an individual who is indigent, who doesn't want to process all the paperwork or doesn't have the money to process the appeal bonds. The appeal bonds that we've been talking about with the trial de novo, you know, they got to pay that attorney $40 or what have you. If you're in a court of record, I don't see an attorney actually waiving the monies, their fees, because the person's indigent. But if you're in a court of record, you don't actually have to have that kind of an appeal bond, the actual bond paperwork. It can be, there's still paperwork involved, but it doesn't have to be through an attorney. There's a couple of different ways, and we're going to go over those. Let's see what I... One of the things that you want to be sure that you'll learn or you write down, and it is on, let's see here, my page 7, is that appeals from non-record courts, that's going to be everybody who's in a trial de novo, all of those, all the information that you're going to need about appeals is under Chapter 45 only, under Chapter 45. Everything for a non-record court falls under Chapter 45. So when you go back to your court and you need to start looking up some information, and if it's something you just need to refer back to, just remember, if you're a non-record court, everything's going to be under Chapter 45. If you're a record court, you're going to have to look to Chapter 44 of the Code of Criminal Procedures and 45 of the Code of Criminal Procedures, Chapter 30 of the Government Code, and the Texas Rules of Appellate Procedure. So there's a little bit more. Okay. You know how I mentioned the leapfrog? Now, the leapfrog is, those few appeals that y'all have had generally in the office, or those that you're getting, Melissa, right now, do they just pay the attorneys and y'all just process the 2714B letter?
If they, mm-hmm. don't, if they want to appeal, they get, you know, they have to go to court to get the conviction, or they have to file a 2714. And most people coming in don't know the 2714, and so if they automatically want to appeal it before the case is heard, like, we still have to set them for court so that the judge can enter a judgment and give them that 10 days to appeal.
Right. Okay, so did you hear, Melissa? What's happened? Oh, Rebecca, I'm sorry, Melissa. So, okay, I was okay. Well, you're Rebecca. Rebecca, what Rebecca's saying is that they actually, you know, they hire the attorney and they'll get the 2714B. So everybody knows what the 2714B is. If you have y'all seen, that's a letter of representation that also enters that actually enters the plea, and that generally they read something to the effect that we're entering a plea of no contest and we want to appeal this case, and then y'all just take it and process the paperwork and send it up. Okay. And in a court of record, just like Rebecca said, appeal is based solely on errors made by the trial court. Okay. And the defendant cannot win an appeal through a court of record if there wasn't actually a trial. So for example, even though you will expect, because you're a court of record, when you go court of record, even though you expect that there will be a trial because they have to have an error, a defendant can still file and try to do a leapfrog, which means that they can still say, oh, here's my 2714B letter from my attorney, and you're still going to have to process it. But it'll all go to the county. There's not any way for them to win because there's no errors because they never went to trial. And that's what this means right here. The defendant cannot prevail on an appeal if there's no trial. But you probably won't get very many of those, but it can happen. Okay? Because and there has to be a written judgment. Okay. On the non-record courts, the defendant can plead guilty or no contest. And we know that through the 2714B, a lot of times the attorneys will just send those little letters in. And there's no trial required. And the defendant can actually even appeal if driver safety or the terms of deferred disposition aren't even completed. So they can turn around at any point and we just process the paperwork. That's going to be, I told somebody earlier today, I said, you know, one of the easiest things to remember about this appeal course is that no matter what you get, you're going to send it off. At one point or another, you're going to send it off, even if it doesn't appear to be correct from the defendant's submission. If the defendant does not submit information correctly, you're still going to send it off, unless your judge tells you something different. Even if the appeal bonds don't come in, the judge is going to be involved in that, and when you send off your information to the county, you may write a cover letter. I don't know how y'all send your appeals in, but if you write a cover letter, you would say something to the effect that there is no appeal bond has been filed or has been approved, or the appeal bond may not be sufficient in the eyes of the judge, so the judge won't approve it. This appeal bond has not been approved, and I highlight that, so then I send it to the county. Did they actually submit notice to appeal? They're saying that they want to appeal, and even if everything doesn't come in just the way it should come in, the way the law reads, you've got to send them up to the county. I send to Dallas, like for example, I have a defendant who came in, said he was indigent. We had the indigency hearing. The judge gave him a surety appeal bond. With that surety appeal bond, she also waived the fees, the $25 fees for the transcript fees from the court. So he didn't have to pay those. All he had to do was bring back that appeal bond. He chose not to bring the appeal bond. He deliberately chose not to pay the ticket, and he also said, I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to get any sureties to sign off for me. So, but he still had, he wanted to appeal. So we send all the paperwork over, and we wait for Dallas County to send it back to us. And they'll send it back because there's nothing they can do with it. It's not everything's not properly. We've properly filed everything. We've submit everything. The court submits everything. But they didn't meet all their requirements. They, the defendant, didn't meet all their requirements. And so it will eventually come back to us. And, of course, there has to be a written judgment. On the motions for court of record, a motion for a new trial is required within the 10 days of the judgment. Okay. And the notice of appeal required within 10 days after motion for a new trial overruled. Am I standing in front of that for you? I shouldn't do that. Okay. So to perfect the appeal, the appellate must file a written motion for a new trial with the municipal clerk not later than the 10th day after the date on which the judgment is rendered. A motion for new trial, though, is not required for non-courts of record. Remember, all they're doing is sending us that 2714B, and they're just But just start the process, and we just start getting everything together, send it off, okay? And a notice of appeal is not required. Which one do you think is easier? Y'all kind of like the other? It is. It's much easier, but unfortunately, if you're in a city as large as Mesquite is, and you start getting those 1,500, it just can continue to grow, and it gets really crazy. Okay, do you have any questions on this so far? All right. So when you look at the actual processing of the bond is greater than double of the amount of the fine plus court cost, or $100. Okay. The bond can be surety, cash, or personal bond if approved. The court cannot require a cash bond. Have y'all ever had a cash bond filed for the appeal? Okay. What have y'all done with that? Do y'all just keep it? Do y'all just write a receipt for it? You just receipt it?
We wrote a receipt to the defendant. Mm-hmm. He's the one who actually had the six charges.
Right.
And so the attorney, he put up the appeal bond for two of them. They put four of them on hold. Sent it to the county. We wrote him, of course, a receipt for his for his money, but the receipt, the check, everything went, a copy of the receipt, everything went to the county.
Everything went to the county, okay. All right. And in a court of record, we also can't require a cash bond, okay? But like I said, there are these other bonds. Has anyone ever used these other the surety or personal bonds? Now, the surety or the personal bond is going to really be based on, or it's going to be at the judge's discretion. I mean, you're not probably ever really going to use, in the 15 years, well, excuse me, 15, 20, in the 25 years I've been in municipal courts, I was really trying to make myself younger. In the 25 years I've been in the municipal courts, until this one case that we just had recently, we'd never even used a surety appeal bond before. We'd had the cash appeal bonds processed, but we'd never had a surety bond processed.
We were going to do it one time, but the guy looked for somebody to do it for him, and couldn't find anybody
to sign it for him. Okay.
All of our bonds,
they do? Really?
Yeah, and that's just a small cash bond. So we have to contact the defendant and tell them they have to cash bond. They don't want to have two sureties in
it. Well, we send ours to Dallas County, and I can't say that we've had that problem.
We just started.
Well, they can, but I would beg to differ, but I would wait to find out whether they're reading that, because they can place a personal appearance bond, and that would not require the sureties. So these copies of these bonds are in your handouts. I think they start on page 19, 17 or 19. I think it's 19. So there are some copies of these personal appeal bonds and the surety appeal bonds. If you ever needed one in the future, they're part of the TMCEC's forms. Okay, but they are back there. Do you see them? Okay, good. Okay, of course, in non-record court, the bond's at least twice the amount of the fine and cost, but never less than $50. And then there again, the bond can be cash, surety, or personal bond, but the court cannot require cash. Okay. Okay, and the differences on the actual filing of the bonds. The bond must be filed in a court of record on or before the 10th day after motion for new trial is overruled. So do you know what the difference is can somebody tell me what the difference is for the non-courts of record? That part's the same. Comes out of two different areas. Well, actually, the bond must be filed on or before the 10th day after the judgment if the defendant appeared in open court. But this is the biggest difference right here. If a plea is delivered or mailed to the court, the defendant has up to 31 days after receiving the notice of the fine and bond to file it.
But you know, that part right there, our county has an issue with it, and it depends on who's working the appeal.
Uh-oh.
Sometimes they will kick it back, and we're like, it's within the time. They didn't receive notice. We have the signed green card. They received notice of the appeal. They're like, no, it has to
Yeah.
This is where we're at. If you want to find it, call county and tell them, and if they'll take it back, I'll send it again.
Okay, did you hear what she said? How, you understand that she's saying that they just kick them back, they won't take them. You know, I say that they're up here and we're right here, and if that's what they want to do, then, you know. And again, the same with whether you have to file a cash bond, so. Okay, the mailbox rule does not apply for courts of record. But for your non-record courts, it does apply. And everyone's familiar with the mailbox rule? Yes? No? The mailbox rule? Yes, ma'am. You want to say that out loud?
10 days.
The 10 day, there you go. Good. Okay, on the bond sufficiency, the judge, like I said earlier, the judge must approve the sufficiency of the sureties on the bond in the record. In a non-court of record, the judge must approve the sufficiency of the sureties on the bond. Now, when it says must, but let's say there's something not quite right with the bond, okay? The judge can also put not approved. It just means that the judge has had to touched it and looked at it and done something to it. But I know that the judges can put not approved, and it's not a... in their eyes, is not a good bond, does not meet the sufficiencies. So it'll be sent up, and there again, on a cover letter for the courts of record, we put a note on there that says, note, this, we would actually notify the judges and let them, or excuse me, the county, to let them know that the bond that's attached has not been approved by the judge. I want to show you, I know that you are not all courts of record, but I have a little handout that might be of some benefit to you in case you decide to go court of record like y'all. Anybody else thinking about going court of record? No? Okay. Well, just so you can kind of follow along with me a little bit better, this is the handout we use. We actually, in Coppell, we get 3, 4, 5 appeals a year. Okay, with the appeals, I don't know how y'all are, but we don't do them very often. So we have to stop and really think about what we're doing when we're messing with the appeals, when we're processing, excuse me, the appeals. And so we have this. It's a little sheet, and this is what we use. And it just gives us something to look at, and we sign off. And it's real simple. We just put it together. And this would be my suggestion for you in Mesquite as y'all go court of record, or you know, if you want to put something together for y'all, because you don't touch them very often. Obviously, if y'all only got 1, 2, maybe 3, you know, appeals come through a year, you don't touch it very often, then put something similar together that whenever we get the case filed and it's going to appeal, we just stick this on the back of the case, we staple it to it or do something, and we'll just go through. It's kind of just a guideline for us, okay, on how the appeal process works, so we don't have to think as hard. We try to work a little smarter than harder. It's not fancy, but it does the trick, okay? And the one behind there, does anybody have red light cameras? I don't want to confuse the issue, but red light cameras. This one for behind, this one, excuse me, form behind is for the red light appeals because we actually have jurisdiction over those appeals also. So you're the only one that has it, red light cameras, okay. Okay, so like if we were going step by step, we are here where it says the defendant has 60 days to complete the record and file it with the municipal court. And you can see here we would be right about here. And so what would happen is we would start marking check marks, we'd put dates, and we'd put our initials, or depending how large your court is, you know, hey, I did this on such and such date, or the judge will return it to me. It even has my name on here. Judge likes that, so she knows that, hey, file to Rosie. It goes to Rosie next to send it to the defendant and tell him, give him the information that we need for court of record. Okay. Did you get one of these? Sorry. You snuck out on me. It's okay. You snuck out. What I was explaining was this is kind of a sheet that we use just so that, well, I think everybody should consider making up a written guideline so that if you go and you actually have an appeal, you have something to look back at, because we don't do very many appeals. Okay, any questions right now? No? Okay. What's the most interesting appealed case that you've had? Anybody? What about the guy with the six cases?
That was actually dismissed.
It was dismissed?
Not long after it got to. Well, I think it was going on close to a year before we found out that it had actually been dismissed.
One of our most interesting cases had to do with a gentleman who received 30 citations, like basically one a day, from our code enforcement officers for... He was doing some work, but he didn't have the right permits on his home. Gorgeous, gorgeous home, but he just kept, he would refuse, I suppose he refused, or was not taking enough action. And so we had 30 appeals that he was working, and he had the money to post the cash bonds, hire the attorneys. It was really, took a long time, because they take up a long time sometimes. If you get them in court and they don't do the leapfrog, you know, having them come back, reset, come back, then there's a conviction or a judgment's been rendered, and then they just want to appeal the case. So it feels like all this work that we've done is for naught. But we're doing our job, so just don't forget, as long as we're doing our job correctly, it's all right. Okay, so the record includes the clerk's record, the reporter's record, and a variety of other required material. Okay, lots of courts of records will have a court reporter who actually sits in the courtroom. Are y'all planning on having a court reporter? You're going to do it by recording? Okay. The other courts of record will have just recording devices, which means basically a tape player or some kind of recording device. Okay. We have a court reporter who comes in. They sit there. They have a recorder also, but then they sit there and they do all of their court reporting things. And a poor lady, she may be in there for 8 hours at a time, doesn't even get a break, because my judge is not much for breaks. So... But all that information has to be paid for. And generally, there is a pretty stiff cost that goes with getting that reporter's record that the defendant has to pay. Okay. So if the case lasts, and this is just an example, but if the case lasts 4 hours, that defendant, in order to get this reporter's record to us, may have to pay that court reporter $400 or $500 just to get that. So that's another deterrent when you're in a court of record, because a lot of people aren't going to go to that. To that extreme to get that information. Of course, in non-court record, there's no reporter's record or clerk's record needed. You know, we just send them up there. Okay, in the court record, the defendant must pay a $25 fee for the preparation of the clerk's record. If you look at your little timeline, the appellate timeline that I gave you, it actually even says right here. Well, that's where I was reading a while ago. Filed a Rosie to send notice to defendant of $25 clerk record preparation fee and the name of the court reporter. So we send that notification out to them so that they can know where they've got to go get their other stuff, their business, the reporter's record, and they can send mail or drop by and pay the $25 transcript fee. How are y'all planning on getting your recordings transcribed? Outsource it. They're going to outsource it. Okay. So whoever, will you be handling all of the appeals? Are you volunteering?
We're not there yet.
You're not there yet.
And hopefully.
Mm-hmm. Well, whoever you're going to outsource it to, of course, whoever's handling those has to have all that information so they can notify the defendant who they should contact and how that's going to be paid. And there again, the defendant must pay the actual cost of the reporter's record. And it's up to that reporter how much that's going to cost. There are some guidelines that the reporter has to use, but it's based on the amount of work and time that they were in court and how long it will take them to put it together. There's no fees to pay. And the defendant does not pay any fees since there's no clerk or reporter's record. So who makes the money off of it in the non-courts of record up front? Generally, the attorney that filed that 2714B. Now, it used to be $45. I think I said that. Is it still about $45? Do y'all know?
$45 to $55?
Okay. Okay, the clerk... in a court of record shall promptly send the record to the clerk of the appellate court after the municipal judge approves it. Okay. In the non-record court, the clerk makes copies of case file records and sends originals to the appellate court as soon as possible. Now, we're going to be sending the originals out here. Okay, and I suppose, are y'all all sending the copies?
No, we're sending the originals.
You're all sending the originals, okay. Oh, you're all sending the originals, okay. So we're all sending the originals. Do y'all keep copies? Y'all keep copies, okay. So if you don't ever get anything back from the county, what are you doing with your copies?
They're in a file, and they're in a drawer that says appeals.
They're in a drawer that says appeals? Oh, really? Okay. Well, that's good that you're getting something back. I don't think a lot of courts get anything back. I've never gotten anything back from Dallas unless it's... Well, actually, we get a response back after it's been appealed, but prior to being court record, we didn't get anything back. I've even actually made open records requests or requests to view records. Nothing. So do y'all get things back from the few appeals that you've had? Have y'all gotten anything back from the county? So with those cases, what do you do with them? Just holding them? No, Patricia? Are y'all keeping the cases? You're not sure? But y'all don't have very many, so. Okay. Okay, the clerk keeps copies for the municipal court records, but see it, but I'm thinking that we're supposed to get something back so y'all know what to do with it after. But. Okay, the timeliness. Prosecution may brief the appellate court that the time deadlines were not met by the defendant. Now, you heard me mention earlier that I do a cover letter that says appeal bonds not approved or appeal bonds have not been filed. Okay. We have a prosecutor that comes out. He's part-time, but he's there. And he does quite a bit of work, but he's not really there to process the paperwork, that portion of the paperwork for us. So he'd actually never touch. Once the appeal and everything's been through trial, at our level, he really doesn't see much of that. So the only way that this notification, which says may brief the appellate court, I think that's more of a notification to some degree. I mean, I know when he gets there, he'll do a brief, but if we send that cover letter notification ahead of time, then they already have maybe an idea that they should look at this and not put it in the, oh, we'll get to this later pile. We need to do something with this now pile. Okay. If an appeal bond's not timely filed in the non-record courts, by the defendant, the appellate court shall remand the case to the municipal court. Now, did you tell me a while ago that they do send it back if they're not filed within, who said 30 days?
Yeah,
they'll kick it right back. If you get them sent back. Okay. Now, we do get several. Well, when we have them in, from Dallas, we have gone to collect some because they've gone and said, okay, no, you know, go ahead and you can collect on it. We've had some that were dismissed. And we actually even had a case appealed. Actually, it wasn't appealed. I'm misspeak. That was pulled out. We weren't certain how they were going to handle it, but they actually pulled it from our jurisdiction completely, and it was held in the federal courts because it was a case that we have a postal service, a main post office, and it was a type of a case that they did not want heard at the municipal court level, so they got pulled from our court and went straight to federal court. So that was kind of interesting. Okay, on a court of record, the defendant may make a motion to withdraw an appeal. Okay. And in the non-record courts, the defendant may not make a motion to withdraw the appeal. Now, how often does that happen that they come back and say, hey, I don't want to appeal this anymore? Never. Does happen to y'all? And they just want to pay the fine. I have seen that in the past when, for example, someone wants to join a branch of service, that want to get into the military, and they're trying to close out all of their business. So I've seen that happen then, but that's the only time I've ever seen anything happen like that.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Could you hear what Rebecca says? That because the defendant gets frustrated and they don't want to have to go figure out how to complete the bonds, that they just get frustrated and they say, oh, forget it, basically. They just want to pay it, right?
Because
we can't give them legal advice, right. Okay, the disposition, if the judgment's upheld, court is notified. Okay, and that comes out of the government code. And the municipal court can forfeit the bond, issue a capias pro fine, or take other appropriate remedies. When the judgment's upheld at the county level, remember I'm a court of record, so we get the information, we generally will send them a notification and say, okay, the judgment's been basically upheld, here's copies of everything, we always say you have 10 days to come in, take care of this. And then at that point, if they don't come in and take care of it, then we will issue the warrants.
The
capias
pro
fine.
I'm
sure they get some kind of notification. I'm sure they'll get some kind of a notification, but they don't know what the recourse is. A lot of times they don't realize what our recourse is. So I'm sure they get some kind of a notification, especially if they have an attorney that's working with them. But in order to, in order to feel like we've done what we were supposed to do things the right way, we notify them also, and we send them copies of everything. In the non-courts of record, if the defendant is convicted in the trial de novo, the appellate court collects the fine cost and keeps the fine. Somebody said that early on. We don't get anything out of it. But you just have all the answers to this. But you're right. They keep everything. You don't ever see anything. And on top of that, you have repeat offenders who just know they're going to pay that $45 and they don't have to, do much of anything else. Now, how often do you think that they actually get a judgment and there's a conviction on those cases? Let's say on yours, Rebecca.
How often do they actually
get convicted?
Uh-huh. Various reports, not very often.
Not very often. So they're not collecting that much money then.
No.
They get their license back. Could y'all hear her? Yeah. One of the reasons she says that they have so many appeals is because if the cases are already outstanding, they cannot. Their driver's license, right? On alias warrants. They've sent the notifications to Omni, so they have agreements with Omni. Because of that, they can't get their driver's license until those have been lifted, and the only way for them to be lifted is either to appeal the case. Mesquite requires them to have appealed the case or have paid the fines. So they're coming in and then they go ahead and they just, instead of paying the fines because it's too costly, especially if you have six of them, so it's too costly, it's easier for them to go down and pay for six cases the $45 and get all of the cases appealed. Oh, okay. I never thought about that. Okay, and of course, filing the appeal bond in a non-record court ceases further proceedings in the municipal court because it's like it's not there anymore. Even though we've got copies of it, it's out of our jurisdiction and we just wait till we hear something. Sometimes those get lost. I don't know what happens to them. That came out pretty good, didn't it? I don't know what happens to those cases. I do know that I've heard rumors or heard stories where, judges would go in or somebody would go in down the county and say, oh, let's just get rid of this stack today. So but you're going
to
have more court cases.
Yes.
And you're still going to have a lot more.
Yeah.
Wow, you got a new court building out of the deal.
We got the report
Wow.
Right now, we share a courtroom with Council Chambers, so we're
Wow. Well, you definitely will, because you'll have to have those cases come through. For a while, they'll try to, the attorneys will come and they'll try to say, we want jury trial, but then they'll realize that you're set up to have the jury trial, so they'll say, oh, never mind, we just want to be on an attorney plea docket, and let's see what we can work out, something.
We have about 2 years
Just be strong. That's what you got to do. You just got to be strong. Because if you're... It's not on you, though. I mean, it's not on you. It's just the way, however the court's going to handle it, and the reputation that the court will have will determine how many of those jury trials you'll have. So be prepared for those jury trials. Okay, in the court of record, if the appellate court grants a new trial, the case is sent back to the municipal court to be retried. Okay. And for the non-record court, the appellate court conducts a trial de novo. So there again, It hasn't come back. It's not coming back. You're not going to see anything on it. That's why I'm wondering why you're still keeping all of those things, unless they're going to send it back, and you're going to pay
the
files.
I think just because we just weren't sure what to do with them, and so where our motto
what are we going
to
do?
Be safe and sorry. So we just, I mean, it's like all of them take up one drawer.
Yeah.
You know, that's it. And so we just kind of hold on to them until we decide what we need.
Yeah, and when you do that, just make sure the judge is involved in that and somebody signed off on those. So yeah, municipal court will never conduct a new trial. So there in the municipal court, they just never come back. Just like that, all dogs go to heaven. You can never come back. Okay, the writ of procedendo. Definition of a writ. I think there's a few of these in there in your handout. It says the definition, a writ is from an appellate court which has the effect of handing back the jurisdiction to the originating court to proceed to judgment. It gives back that jurisdiction to the trial court that was transferred for a time when the case was sent up on appeal, basically through court of record. So, it's applicable to court of record, that's what I just said. Well, I'm getting better at this. It's applicable, generally not used in a non-court of record because we don't get that jurisdiction back. If there's a less than perfected appeal, how are you going to deal with it? We kind of talked about that. This is just some general questions out there. Just remember, if it's less than perfect, you're still processing it. You're still going to process everything. Okay. And you are still going to get 2714B letters probably afterward. We made a concentrated effort. This is just a suggestion for you. If you go court of record or you're looking at making that change, we made a concentrated effort to notify those attorneys. We call them our pool attorneys, attorneys that always come through, the same attorneys. Notify all those attorneys to let them know that we were going court of record so that they could be prepared to make the changes. You know, make changes and be prepared to do whatever they needed to do, knowing that they weren't going to be able to send those 2714B letters. So we did it first. We notified them of those things. Yeah. So, what questions do y'all have? We only have a couple minutes left, so we did really good, but I want to be sure because it's late. And I know it's kind of, you know, when you don't handle a lot of appeals, it's kind of hard to think of a lot more to share. Yes, ma'am. Oh, okay. Oh, okay. Okay. Well, that makes sense. That makes sense. She's clarifying why she's thinking that the county's sending back those bonds, even because they didn't have two sureties sign off on them, is because that's what the defendants are bringing in, is surety bonds, surety appeal bonds, and they haven't been signed, so they're not. So the county would send those back or would kick them back. But if they did, if you do process a PR, a personal bond, appeal bond, then they wouldn't kick it back. Yeah. Okay. All right. So one thing that you've learned about today, about appeals, anybody? Well, there's not much we're going to do with them. But if you wanted to find out, I mean, it's a good thing. There's nothing wrong with that, because especially if you wanted to find out, I guess you're sending them all the originals. I guess you keep copies in case something comes
back. It's all coming back. The originals are coming back to us, right? If they kick it back for whatever reason.
I would say yes, but sometimes you don't get the original stuff back.
Really?
Yeah. Actually, I'm trying to think back right now, and I don't think I ever get any original. I just get the forms, the letters that say this case has been remanded or the documentation. They don't send me back the form, so mae that's why.
We keep ours for some strange, I mean, different things, but one of the things, we do a lot of traffic, of course, and so if there's fingerprints, the officer might be looking back on that. They might be looking back on if there was anything that stated they were having an affray or something that they might be looking for. It's usually the citation we end up pulling for our own police department if we're going into those records.
Well, and we do, yeah, we keep the original citation and send the county a copy. So we have copies of everything except for the written citation, and we keep that original and send them a copy.
Okay. Whenever y'all start sending, you know, as we move toward more technology, I don't know, do y'all get to see the, if they actually go to trial and then they appeal their case, DVDs in your courtroom sometimes? People bring DVDs and those things to your courtrooms? Yeah. Okay, be sure that you're making copies of all your exhibits, because that's an exhibit and it's going down. You've got to have a, that's got to go down to the county also. Now, your exhibits are probably not filed with your case. I'm just assuming this, okay? Ours are not filed. All of our exhibits are not filed with a case unless it's a sheet of paper or a document. I mean, I have had exhibits that were a hammer or an ice pick or, you know, of course we have the DVDs and those things. So all of those exhibits we have to make copies of. Now, I didn't send a hammer down there. I mean, I wasn't going to do that. I was going to keep possession of that because I couldn't just stick that in the mail and send it off. And I didn't want to just hand it over like that. So I had to keep all of that. But we had pictures of it and said that these all of these pieces of evidence or these exhibits were in my possession. So, does anybody else keep stuff like that?
We had a new prosecutor. We've got two now, but we had a new prosecutor, and she used one of those big white sheets of paper and did some of her stuff on that, and then they appealed and had to fold it all up and put it in the... We didn't send that down to Dallas, but we were, like, trying to analyze how we were going to copy this, and we were like, don't do that anymore. So she doesn't.
Yeah. Well, we also scan all of our laserfish, we do a lot of scanning. So with that document, we would actually take a picture of it. We went and purchased, I think it was out of our court efficiency fund, we purchased a really good digital camera so it could get all the little pixels. It was really a good quality. Now, we don't use it very often, but we put those pieces of paper on the floor like that, and we take a picture, we can zoom in and out, and then, you know, it gets downloaded into our laserfish. So we would have to make a copy of that out of a scanning, and then we would have to send all that out. Well, yeah, or even those big poster boards that they bring with, they spend a lot of, some of our defendants will spend a lot of money coming to trial. They'll bring lots of things. Okay, learn anything good? Of interest, something?
I just can't believe you can send everything without a
label. Well, you're still going to follow all of your steps, you know. Yes.
I just feel like that piece of paper means...
It does mean something. It means that because it's not
so
there.
At what point do you decide to send it off?
When their time is up.
When
their
time is
right.
Right.
Yeah.
When their time is
up.
Because I know if they file it late, they still send it.
And we actually send,
it late?
Either the attorney or the defendant, depending on if they're pro se or not. But we send them a letter that says, you haven't filed your appeal bond yet. And usually they're like, oh, no. And then they'll send it to us real quick. And I'm like, okay, county's probably going to kick it back. But we'll send it.
We do that too. We'll send a letter too. But this particular gentleman, this one that we just had, he wasn't going to do anything. So we do that. We also send a letter and say, you know, you haven't done that yet. Because the judge, even though there is some time limits on it, the judge still is your final authority. If the judge wants to take it and, you know, and approve of something, then she can still do that. But it's still not going to meet the timeline requirements down at the county, so it's going to get kicked back. And so if there's not an appeal bond, It's still going to go to the county. The county's going to look at it and say, well, we're here. Where's everything that's supposed to be here? Well, it's not there, so they're going to have to, they don't have any recourse but to kick it back to us. She actually, on this particular case, she wrote an order that actually ordered me as a clerk to turn around and submit all the information just like I would appeal bond, because there had been no appeal bond process. So I took all my cover letters. There's a little checkoff sheet that says, you know, here's the transcripts here, the complaints in here, the copy of the citations in here, the motions are in here, the court notices are in here. Appeal bond. No appeal bond filed to date. I just mark it off to the side, no appeal bond filed to date, and all the, and then I sign everything. So that's, and if it's a appeal bond that's insufficient, you know, the appeal bond's there, she thinks it's insufficient based on her judgment. She writes here, not approved, and she signs her name. So then I mark off, okay, complaints in here, citations in here, motions here, appearances are in here, appeal bond, not approved. You know, I just highlight that. And then they kick them back, or they do whatever they need to do over there. But we followed the process. I don't know, because I don't recognize a lot of your faces. Some of them I do. But I guess, have y'all been in courts for a long, long time? Because I've been out of the circle for a little while. So y'all been in court a long, long, long time? 06? Well, that's a long time. It's a long time, because you know what? When you're having a good time, time flies. Okay. Yeah. So, 6? How long have you been in court?
18 years with JP and 12 with
CBP.
Oh, wow.
That's a long time.
That's a long time. You need to come teach the class. Yeah. And you've been in court for a while?
Since the end of 06.
End of 06? Okay. 3.5 years?
3 years.
3 years?
Just a year and a half.
A year and a half. What did you do before?
You were what?
Corporate credit manager. Okay. You probably know some tricks.
I'm going to retire again on these days.
You know what? It's awesome when you can retire and then you can go to another job and, you know, retire again. That's my plan. I've got my plan. It used to be
4 years.
4 years? 3.5 years. Okay. So that's a lot of good, information. Well, it was a pleasure to meet you. I hope you did learn something. If you got the handout, if it's helpful, I hope it is. Like I said, for those of you who are not court of record, it's probably not going to mean a whole lot, except that you can take, and I would do the same thing, just put a little guideline sheet together so you don't have to think about it so much later on if you don't do them very often. My judge always says, Rosie, we need to put this in writing, because when you and I aren't here, they're not going to know what to do. And that doesn't mean that we know everything. It just means that, you know, other people will always depend on the other people that were here ahead of us to kind of give them some guidance. So let me give you all my phone number. I don't know if it's on there or not. You're welcome to call me or email me. If you have any questions, if it doesn't have anything to do with appeals, that's okay too. See, my direct line at my office is 972-304-3651. And not that I have the best information or the only information, but if you really, really needed me, my cell phone number is 469-576-7724. And my email is R, like Rosie, Cabell, C-A-B-A-L-L, at Coppell, T-X, and Coppell is C-O-P-P-E-L-L, T-X.gov. Okay? All right. Well, it was a pleasure having y'all in class. I know y'all ready to call it a day. It's been a long day for me also. Flew in and I'm flying back out. So I will see y'all later. You're welcome. Oh, don't forget to do your evaluations when you get a chance to. Those are really important. I wish I had one of these at home. I could sing some music, some songs. I just don't know how you turn it off, though. Don't forget, what room is the,
141.
I didn't even have to finish the sentence. Bye. No, it was awesome. It was awesome, because it is difficult sometimes.
Bridging between the two now.
Yeah.
I'm so glad you did.
talk about the court of record, because I know a lot around here there's some court of record.
I know. Do you not turn this off before I break it? Well, that one's off. No, yeah. Oh, no.